Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues in a verse-by-verse study of the powerful book of Revelation. Never before has John's revelation been more crucial to know and to communicate than right now. The state of Israel, Middle East tensions, European alliances, COVID-19, even our own national unrest are just a few of the precise indicators that Jesus is soon to return for His church. May we all be informed and inspired to speak these truths as we are washed by the water of the Word.
You guys have turned the Feast of Tabernacles really into a drunk fest. After all, the harvest was in. Everybody had worked hard all through the fall season, and now you're getting paid and you got discretionary income jingling in your pockets. Let's go party. And then they would do that. Jesus says, I'm not going to attend that cultural thing. I'm going to go to the Feast of the Ingathering. Gathering what? Well, the crops. Yes, and one more crop. Look at verse 37. I got to set the stage a little bit. An 8-day celebration. The first 7 days, amongst all the other revelry, the priests would make a big ceremonial parade and they would march down from the Temple Mount to the Pool of Siloam. Siloam, by the way, means one who was sent. They would dip a great big jug full of water and march ceremoniously back up the hill, and they would empty it, upend it, and pour the water on the dry pavement. Basically saying, hey, we remember Isaiah 44, verse 3. Water upon the dry ground. It was to commemorate the supernatural water that God gave the children of Israel in the desert. And it was also a time when they said, oh Lord, they would read Isaiah 44, 3. Then they would fall silent and pray Isaiah 44, verse 3. Whoever is thirsty, I will pour out on them what? My blessing. What's the blessing? Messiah. On the 8th day, the high day, the culmination, they would still march down to Siloam, only they would not gather water. They would take an empty jug back up to the top. They would upend the empty jug, signifying when they got into the promised land that the supernatural waters ceased. Say Isaiah 44 verse 3, I will pour myself out on those who are thirsty, my blessing, and fall silent. And every Jew would pray under his breath, Lord, send Messiah. Verse 37. On the last day of Tabernacles, the great day, they're all standing around on the mount where the temple was. They just done the thing with the pot, turned the empty jar upside down. Everybody silent after reading Isaiah 44 verse 3. Under their breath, lips moving, Lord, send Messiah. Jesus stood up, out, and cried out with a loud voice saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 44 verse 3. Powerful stuff. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, what scripture, right? Isaiah 44 verse 3. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. How many of yours, the Spirit, the S in Spirit is capitalized? This is the Holy Spirit. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. How many of you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Messiah of God? Yes. then this is for you, the pouring out of the water of the Spirit of God. For Holy Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. Right in your margin there, Acts chapter 2, the filling of the Spirit. Now with that in mind, we're going to go to one more spot. Ezekiel chapter 47. Starting at about chapter 40, Ezekiel, who predates Jesus by about 550 years, captive there in Babylon. Starting at about chapter 40, God gives him the vision of the millennial temple of Jesus. Here is another physical description of this beautiful millennial tabernacle or temple. Pick up the story in chapter 47, verse 1. Then he brought me, Ezekiel, back to the door of the temple, the millennial temple, and there was water, check this out, flowing from under the threshold of the temple. Hey, didn't we just see that in Revelation 22? For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out by the way of the north gate. So he went out the north gate, now he's moving around to the east, and he notices some water pouring out from under the temple. He led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. Verse 3. And when the man, or this person taking him around in this vision, likely it's Jesus, and when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. So he evidently backs up to the east wall and then walks 1,000 cubits, or about a quarter of a mile, downstream. And he brought me through the waters at that point, and the water came up to my, what everybody? Ankle. So it wasn't too deep. But he's not done. Verse 4. And again he measured 1,000 cubits, another quarter of a mile or so downstream. He brought me through the waters at that point, and the water came up to my, why is the water increasing in depth? Let's keep reading. And again he measured another 1,000 cubits, about another quarter of a mile. He brought me through at that place. Now look at the depth of the water. It came up to my waist. Verse 5. And again he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river at this point. Some commentators speculate that there might be other rivers or streams flowing in, which is causing the river to go from a small portion of water, ankle deep, to knee deep, to waist high. The minute here, you're going to have to swim across. I don't buy any of that. I believe that what's happening is the river starts at a kind of a cubic feet per second, and then increases. And I know what you're thinking, especially you hydrologists. It doesn't work that way. Unless you're in the millennial kingdom with Jesus. Watch this. Verse 5. And again he measured 1,000. So now he's well over a mile away. And it was a, circle that if you would, river that I could not cross. For the water was too deep. The water in which one must, what does it say? Swim. So it starts out ankle high. No problem standing against that current. Then I get in a little deeper up to my knees. I'm finding myself having to sort of brace a little bit against the flow of the current. When I get up to my waist, I'm having to dig in a little more with a little more vigor. But there comes a time, evidently, in this river. You've got a toe hold is all you got. And you are straining against the flow. You got to come in a little deeper. But I'm holding against the flow, Lord. If I were to go any deeper, I would be swept down with the flow. The river that we see in the New Jerusalem, the Bible gives us no detail as to its depth. And you don't want to read too much in, but sometimes the Bible speaks volumes by what it doesn't say. These are two different temples. The New Jerusalem is very different from the millennial temple that we're seeing here. The millennial temple, who's still on the planet? Well, there's some humans there as well. Is there sin still available to some of the humans? Answer, uh-huh. And this idea of the river, I believe, in its model form, speaks of the Holy Spirit. In the New Jerusalem, it is my opinion that it comes already flowing at a torrential rate. It's not incrementally deeper. And that would make sense if my model holds any water. Holds any water whatsoever. And that is, there is no sin in the New Jerusalem. You don't have to make a conscious choice to step ever deeper in His Spirit. You just are. But in the millennial temple, you got a choice. Borrowing from John Corson, you ever notice when you get saved, how awesome that is? You guys remember that? I do. The wonder and the newness of initial salvation is awesome. But like most newborns, the bulk of my thoughts and activities center around me. But after you've walked a while, standing on the promises, you're so amazed and overwhelmed at all that God is doing for you, it begins to occur to you. You begin to become aware that others so need what I have. As you draw closer and closer to His heart, you begin to think how He thinks. And how does our Lord think? He's mindful of the lost and the harassed, the captured by sin and the broken. We begin to get on our knees. And our prayer time moves from, Lord, I need for me, please, me. And intercessory prayer begins on behalf of someone else. But don't stop there. Come in a little deeper to the waist, if you will, the reproductive area. Because light and life surround you even in the tough times. What's the old saying? You can't have a testimony until you have a test. Because you've learned not to give up. You've learned not to blame him or her or them. And you've learned the fine art of just keep showing up. You've been offended and you press through. You are learning, says the Lord, and life is pouring forth from you. You're no longer in the driver's seat. Jesus is on the throne, and thirsty, hungry people see you going through your tough times, and they say, why aren't they folding? I would. Then perhaps they come up to you and they say, what do you have? And you can reproduce. And then finally, what about the swept along when you're on the flow of the river? Who's driving now? Your last toehold, fighting against the flow. Jesus says, come a little deeper. And we say, but Lord, if I let go of my toehold, my grip on the steering wheel, then I won't be driving anymore. And God says, I know. Come along with me. Now, where does he want to take you? Check this out. Look at verse 6. Then he said to me, son of man, Ezekiel, did you see this? Yeah, I sure did. I'm going down the flow. Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river after my little swim. Verse 7, and when I returned, look what I saw. Along the bank of the river were very many what, everybody? In the New Jerusalem, these trees are going to be the tree of life. But watch about these trees on this side of glory, if you will. Many trees on one side and on the other. Verse 8. And then he said to me, this water is flowing. I know, says Ezekiel, I was in the flow for a little while. Where does it go? If I were to stay in the flow, where would it take me? It flows to the eastern region. It goes down into the valley. Some of your translations say the Arabah. And what is the Arabah? That's the Jordan Rift Valley. When you stand on the shores of the Dead Sea, you are standing at the lowest point of the earth, 1,300 feet below sea level. The lowest point on the planet where you're not underwater. It was called the Arabah. And because water flows in but doesn't flow out, the sun evaporates the H2O, leaving behind salts and sediments. The Dead Sea is dead because it is six times saltier than the ocean. Nothing can grow there. It's dead. Boy, there's a sermon right there, huh? If it's flowing in, and if it ain't flowing out, y'all, you're going to get spiritual constipation. Let's look at the fiber of the word. I'm so sorry about that one. So, this water, if I were to stay in, Lord, where would it take me? Here's where it will take me, verse 8. This water flows toward the eastern region. It goes down the Arabah and enters the Dead Sea. Lord, what are you taking me to a Dead Sea for? When you are flowing with him, I'll take you to dead places. Because when my spirit reaches the dead things, its waters will be healed. But we're not done. Look at verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will what, everybody? Will live. It wasn't alive until you got there, filled with the Spirit. Some of you need to circle that. It will live. And you need to put a date on it. It's November the 16th, 2014. Some of you need to circle that and put a date on it. And you need to put what you're praying for. There's a prodigal in your family. There's a significant marital challenge. There is an awful struggle with depression, maybe even suicide. There's been financial disaster. And you are so far down the chute looking up, you don't think it's ever. It's dead. But the Lord is saying, if you want to come into the river, it starts out on the promises. That's okay. Stand on the promises. Ankle deep, but don't stop. Then get to your knees and start praying for somebody else. Then let God reproduce through you. Let me have that last little toe hold. But I'll be swept away, Lord. Yes, says the Lord. Where are you going to take me? To dead places. Oh, but I hate those dead places, Lord. It won't be dead when you arrive filled with the Spirit. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever this river goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to Engalem. A lot of people don't know where that is, but some people think the whole place. Except for one location. Watch this. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the Great Sea, meaning the Mediterranean. How did they get there? Zechariah 14 tells us. But in the interest of time, let's keep reading. Verse 11. But look out, though. There's some swampy areas and some marshes will not be healed. You know what those are, right? The marshes. That's out of the main flow, when the waters are not flowing but become still. That's where the swamps and the marshes. If you get too far away from the flow, swamps and marshes, you might get hung up there. They will, what everybody, not be healed. They will be given over to salt. And along the bank of the river, on this side and on that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. And they will bear fruit every month. similar to the New Jerusalem, but not the same, because their water, what, everybody? One more time. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for medicine. Would you stand with me this morning? In the book of Revelation, you don't even have to think about getting closer to God because you can't get any closer. And the flow is a natural product of the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and the new earth. But for us here at Harvest Family Fellowship, on this November day in 2014, the invitation is extended to you. Why don't you jump in the river of the Holy Spirit? He that thirsts, let them come to me, said Jesus, and drink. And out of his centermost place will flow rivers of living water. But truth be known, Lord, there are perhaps many in this room today or within the sound of my voice. That's good preaching stuff there, Pastor Steve, but it ain't my experience. I've got a prodigal in my life. I've got a marriage that's a challenge. I've got a physical illness. I've got a financial disaster, whatever it might be. Or Pastor Steve, I've been to many therapists, and the therapists say, because of what happened to you at a young age, your heart is broken. You can only ever hope to manage this horrible thing. Please hear what God's word says. If you are word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, and do everything you know how to stay close to the heart of God, and give up those toe holds. I deserve to be miserable, Lord. I have a right to this unforgiveness and bitterness. God says, well, if that's where you want to stay, why don't you go ahead and keep your big toe hold in the mud? Or go with the flow of my spirit. But Lord, I'm afraid of where you'll take me. God says, let me do the driving. And when you begin to flow toward those dead places and you're tempted to put that big toe again in the mud, please don't. But Lord, that's the dead place. That's the scary place. That's the dark, fearful. I can't go there, Lord. I can't. It's dead, and there's death all over. If you let me fill you with my Holy Spirit, when you arrive with your fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, I just keep showing up, self-control, it won't be dead much longer. Some of you need to put your hand up on there and say, Lord, forgive me of the sin of the toe hold in the mud. Lift that hand up high and say, Lord Jesus, it is so scary to tuck up my feet under me and to let you move me in the flow of your spirit. God says, I know, but watch where I take you. Stay in the flow, and your fruit will be food for others. And your leaves will be medicine. What did Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians? The comfort that you yourself have been comforted with, you can turn around and comfort others. If you stay in the flow, I will use your fruit to feed and your leaves to heal others. And anybody and everybody who wanted you some of that lifted their hands in the air and said, Amen!
You've been listening to the Book of Revelation with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful to understand God's clear plan for these very last days. May the Lord use all of us to tell others of Jesus' marvelous plan of salvation and the obvious signs of His soon return. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.